talk to you this morning on the subject, on the subject of inflation. That's a problem we all deal with, isn't it? Inflation. You know, just for fun. I did a Google search. You know, even a dummy can sound smart with Google, right? But I did a Google search and I searched for prices in 1951. Now, the reason I chose that year, that was a very auspicious year in the history of mankind. That's the year I was born. So I did a Google search on prices in 1951. Just wanted to see how much things cost. In 1951, in America, I'm talking in America, and this is U.S. dollars, so you'll have to translate in your own mind. I don't know, maybe do a Google search a house in America, average cost, 1951, $16,000. My house. Freehold, okay. A car would cost about $1,400, but if you bought a really nice one, it would be about $2,200. Gallon of milk, okay, 4 quarts, about 3 point something liters, okay. Gallon of milk, 92 cents, 1951. That's why I'm so healthy. I drank a lot of milk when I was, anyway. Gallon of gasoline for your car, 20 cents. Yeah, a lot different now, isn't it? Yeah. Loaf of bread, 16 cents. 16 cents. A six-pack of Coke, not one Coke, a whole six-pack, okay? 37 cents. 37 cents. A pound of sliced bacon. You like bacon? Everything's better with bacon on it, I tell you right now. I like a pound of bacon with a leaf of lettuce. That's what I call a real good salad. But anyway, a pound of bacon, 63 cents back in 1951. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to go back to the good old days, have those kinds of prices? But wait a minute before you get too excited. Back in those good old days, even though things was very cheap, the average annual income was only $3,500. Oh, wow. Yeah, right. Yeah. $3,500 back in those days, you see. Of course, now salaries are a whole lot higher, but then again, so is the price of everything, right? The price of everything. All of us have had the unhappy experience of the little flower. Oh dear. Here it comes. Insurance, housing prices, utility bills, food prices, gasoline, medical, on and on and on and on and on, right? It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The truth of the matter is, all of us have had the unhappy experience of finding out that the goods and the services that we paid for last month are now going to cost us more this month. We've all experienced that. And that's what we call inflation. That's what we call inflation. Rampant inflation. Now we think it's bad. Now let me just give you a little photo of what's going to come. What's going to come in this world? Rampant inflation is going to strike worldwide. It is. The Bible tells us it is. During that first part of the tribulation period, after the Antichrist comes on the scene, there's going to be a world war. As a result of that war, there's going to be a famine, and the result of it, there's going to be inflation. In fact, the Apostle John foresaw all of that. Here's what he said, Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. Now a measure is it's a dry measurement. It's actually less than a liter. Okay, it's actually less than a liter. In other words, this would amount one measure would basically equal what it would take to keep one person alive for one day. That's basically what we're looking at. It's the amount that it'll take to keep one person alive for one day. And that amount of food, if you're eating wheat, one measure, one person, gonna cost a penny. Or instead of wheat, if you buy something a little bit cheaper, a cheaper grain, and you buy barley, you'll be able to get three measures. In other words, you'll be able to feed three people for a penny. You say, well, a penny, how cheap can that be? Well, now, wait a minute. A penny is not the 1 cent that we think of today when we think of a penny. In Bible times, a penny was a day's wages. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 2? The goodman said, come and work in my vineyard, work today, and I will give you what? A penny, all right? I'll give you a penny. So a penny is a day's wages. In other words, inflation, because of the inflation in those days that are to come, because of that inflation that is going to come, it'll take a day's wages for one man to feed himself if he eats well. If he chooses to eat something a little bit cheaper, he can feed himself, his wife, and one kid on a day's wages. Chinese one-child policy sounds pretty good right now, doesn't it? Sounds pretty good. Yeah, a day's wages to feed yourself. Day's wages to feed yourself. In other words, during that period of human history, the whole focus of men will not be to prosper. Their whole focus will simply be to survive. That's inflation. That's inflation. And certainly we are not at such a crisis level today, but inflation is a problem that we have to deal with. You know, we're getting to the point where, you know, we run out of money before we run out of month. Have you ever noticed that? And it seems like, you know, it's costing more and more and more just to live. Just to live. And so certainly inflation, it's a very real situation that we have to deal with. But I think there are some biblical principles that we can apply. That there are some biblical principles that will help us when it comes to dealing with this very real crisis situation of inflation. Prices going up. Now, in order to understand this, I think first of all we need to begin by looking at number one. Let's notice the cause, or the causes, we should say, I guess, of inflation. Now, I'm not a financial guru. I guess probably Brother Keith should be teaching this, or Brother David, or some of these other guys we got this is their business. So if I'm way off base, guys, don't tell me now. Tell me later. If you tell me now, I'll lose face, okay? But anyway, what is it that causes inflation? Inflation has been described as the devastating condition when prices just keep going up, eating away at our standard of living. That's basically what inflation is. Prices keep going up and it begins to undermine the standard of living by which we have become accustomed. Now, again, I'm not a financial wizard, but I have done some reading and I have found that there are three main causes for inflation, and they've got some unique names that have been given to them according to the guy that I was reading. First of all, he talked about what he called demand pull inflation. Demand pull inflation. This is the most common kind. This is the most common kind of inflation. It is simply when the demand for a certain good or the demand for a certain service reaches such a high volume that the seller soon realizes that he has the luxury of raising his prices to whatever the market will bear, and thereby creating inflation. thereby creating inflation. In other words, if I had 10 cookies, don't start licking your lips, I don't. But suppose I did. Suppose I had 10 cookies, and there are a lot more than 10 people here in this room. But suppose I had 10 cookies, and I said, okay, I've got 10 cookies here, and I'm going to sell them. How many want one? Everybody raises your hand. Okay. Well, obviously, I can't sell one to all of you. But there's somebody who wants all of my cookies. So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to begin to look at you. Okay. They're dressed pretty well. They have, you know, nice stuff. I believe 50 cents a cookie is just way too cheap. I believe a crowd like you, they can pay $5 a cookie. See? That's what we're talking about. Supply, demand. Supply, demand. Demand, pull, inflation. As long as this inflation, by the way, as long as this kind of inflation stays within limits, it can actually prove to be beneficial to economic growth. It can actually prove to be beneficial. That's because it creates an expectation of inflation. It creates an expectation of inflation, which can contribute to further demand. In other words, if you know I've only got so much and that prices are going to go up, being kyasu, right? You want to buy before it goes up, right? Yeah. And so it creates a greater flow. And it can help the economy. Can help the economy. Now there's another type of inflation, and that's cost push inflation. Cost push. This is when there's a shortage. There's a shortage of supply combined with enough of a demand that allows the producer to raise prices. Sometimes this kind of inflation, for example, can be caused by natural disasters. For example, when they had the problem with the BP oil well in the Gulf Coast, if you'll remember, it was about that time gasoline prices went up. And so natural disasters can create that kind of inflation. War can create that kind of inflation. Anything that damages production facilities can create this kind of inflation. Not only that, depletion of natural resources can create this inflation. We hear a lot of people talk about the overfishing that goes on in certain areas of the world. Overfishing, there's not as many fish now as there used to be. And so overfishing reduces the supply, therefore the prices go up. Prices go up. When a country allows its currency exchange rates to fall, it can create a cost push kind of inflation on imports. All of these are included in this kind of inflation. And then there's another kind. It's called the overexpansion inflation. Overexpansion. Let me illustrate with two very simple illustrations. Scenario number one, there's too much money. There's too much money. Suppose I'm a manufacturer of a product that everybody wants. And again, you notice that a lot of these they're very much entwined together. They're linked together. But suppose I create a product everybody wants. I do my homework. I know the average amount of expendable income that everybody in this room has. We're going to say it's $100. That's expendable income. It's free. You can blow it on whatever you want to. Naturally, my price is going to be what? It'll be a little bit less than $100, right? If I know that your expendable income is only $100, I'm not going to price my thing at $1,000. That I would never sell anything. So it's always going to be a little bit below $100. But suppose that one of our financial guys, Brother Keith, comes in and he gives everybody a gift of $1,000. Thank you. Suppose he comes in and gives everybody a gift of $1,000, either in a tax break or tax credit or some other way, and guess what's going to happen to my prices? They call that inflation. Prices are going to go up. prices are going to go up. And when my employees, the people that work for me, when my employees see that my profits are going up, they're going to want, guess what? Exactly. They're going to want a raise. They're going to want an increase in their salary. And for a while, that's no problem because times are good. But when your $1,000 extra is gone, prices are going to come back down. Now, I've noticed that when you're dealing with employees, they never argue when you raise their salary. But when you try to cut their salary, ooh, boy, it gets rough, right? And so now, because there's not the demand there was before, people don't have the expendable income they had before, now prices have to come down, but the salaries stay high, and that brings us to scenario number two. There's too little money. First, there was too much. That created inflation. Now there's too little. And because profits are falling, I have two options. I either have to cut salaries and make a bunch of people mad, which is not very nice. So what I do then is I just cut jobs. And I keep a few people really happy and make some people really upset. Certainly all these are serious issues, aren't they? All these are serious issues. You really want to get close to a guy, get next to his pocketbook, get next to his wallet. You get real personal real fast, you know. And these are serious issues that, and really there's no easy answer. And yet all of these issues, even though we think, well, that's for management and that's for this or that. But the truth is, all of it tends to trickle down, doesn't it? Until it affects you, it affects me. So what are we going to do? Well, in the Bible, we actually find some counsel. We find some help that will help us in dealing with this issue. Whether you're in management, whether you're an employee, whatever your level is, all of us are affected by this inflation that's going on. So number two, the protection. How do we protect ourselves? Well, what's the protection that we can have when it comes to this area of inflation? And I want to just mention several things here that we find. Number one, letter A, honest labor. Honest labor. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, in all labor there is profit. Now, it doesn't say in all labor you'll get filthy rich. Okay? It doesn't say that. But it does say that in all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, which simply equals poverty. In other words, a fellow can go out and he can talk a good game. Boy, he can have all kinds of plans. He's got all kinds of aspirations. Oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to build this, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to, and boy, he did talk, and talk himself all the way to the poorhouse. Why? Because he did a whole lot of talking, but he didn't do any working. It's not by talking that we get wealth. It's by honest labor. My hard work. And in all labor, regardless of whether you're a CEO of a company or whether you manage a trash can on the back of a garbage truck, in all labor, there is profit to be made. There is profit to be made. And that's why the wise man's advice for all of us was simply this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. You ever see an ant sitting on a grain of sand going, boy, sure is hot today. Boy, I tell you what. I need a vacation. You never saw an ant do that. Every ant I ever saw. He's either running to get something or he's running back with something. I mean, they're just back and forth. Oh, and Solomon said, hey, sluggard, lazy guy, afraid of work. I'm kind of like the guy who said, I'm not afraid of work. I can lay down and go to sleep right beside it. But the sluggard, the lazy guy, here's advice for you. Go look at the ant. You want to be rich? Look at the ant. Look at the ant. Honest labor. There's another thing that can help us during times of inflation, and that is this. Godly direction. Godly direction. In verse number 1 of Psalm 24, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. That means this earth belongs to God. It's His by right of creation. He made it. It's His. So the earth is the Lord's. Not only that, everything in the earth belongs to Him. The fullness thereof. And not only the world, but all of us. Again, because of the fact that He created us. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. And since God owns all things, since all things belong to Him because He is the Creator, then whatever we have, you get right down to it, whatever we have in this world is ours because the owner of it allowed us to have it. Doesn't that make sense? Whatever we have because the one who owns everything has allowed us to have that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses gave a warning to the nation of Israel that there would come a time when they would say in their hearts, my power and my might the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He giveth thee power to get wealth. We're tempted many times. We do well and we say, I've done well. And someone reminds us of the fact that, everything we have, God, No, I have what I have because I've worked hard. I was able to use my intelligence, and I was able to come up with these ideas, and I was able to promote it in such a good way that people were just drawn in, and I am what I am. You ever heard the term self-made? Self-made man. God says, no. You have what you have. You have what you have. First of all, because of the fact I gave you the intelligence that you used to create your business. And I blessed you with the physical strength you needed to carry out that business. And I blessed you with the wisdom to manage your income so that you could build a good profit up and have a good savings. I'm the one who did all of that for you. We need to understand godly direction. And so therefore, since everything we have really belongs to God, and since we are merely what the Bible calls stewards of His stuff, right? We're stewards of His stuff. Then we ought to seek His direction before we use His stuff. Suppose somebody says to me, Pastor, I'm going to give you X number of dollars. And I want you to administer this money for me. And by the way, this money that I'm going to give to you, there's going to be enough of it. It will upkeep you and your family. But there'll also be extra that I want you to administer for me. Now, if I'm a crook, okay, then you will never give me enough to take care of everything I want, right? Because I'll always be, I need that. We talked about needs and wants a couple of weeks ago, remember that? And boy, I need that, I want that, you know, and you'll never be able to give me enough to take care of all that stuff. But if I'm honest, then I'm only going to take really what I need to live, and the rest of it I'm going to use for you. And even using what I need and I want, there may be times when it will kind of be questionable. And so I will come to you as my benefactor and say, what do you think about this? Do you think I ought to buy this? Do you think I ought to, I mean, it's your money. What do you think? Would it be okay if I spend it on this? Or is there something better? Is there a better way I ought to use this money that you then? By the way, how many of you ever prayed to God and asked Him when you go to the store? Ladies? I'm picking on ladies because they spend far more time in stores than men do, right? And so ladies, when you go to the store and you're standing there looking at that new dress, has the thought ever crossed your mind, Lord, should I buy this? Should I buy this one? Or Lord, would it be better if I bought maybe a cheaper one so that I would have more to give to missions? Or I'd have more to invest in your work somehow? Seek His direction, right? Seek His direction. It's His stuff. We need to seek His direction and how we use that stuff. Notice another thing. Letter C. Avoid debt. Avoid debt. There are some businesses that will entice us. Have you ever gone in a place? It happens all the time. It happens all the time here. You go into a place and they say, You have a certain credit card. If you use this credit card, you get promotion. You get a special price. Use the credit card. Use the credit card. And they use that as a real come on. And of course, banks subsidize such schemes because they want you to get in the habit of just pulling out plastic. Pulling out plastic. And the result will be that we will soon come to the idea that we are able to really spend money that we don't have. That's what's being instilled. That you don't have the money. Don't worry about it. Just use plastic. See? And you can spend money you don't have. And so as a result of that, you see, these banks, they've done their homework, they've done their study, and according to a website called creditcards.com, you can go check it out yourself, but creditcard.com, it has been found that 55% of all men carry a balance on their credit card. What does that mean? Simply means they use it, but they don't pay it off. And you know what that means? That means every month, your bill is getting larger, even if you don't use the credit card. The bill is getting larger and larger. Why? Because of interest. Because of interest. 55% of men carry a balance, but women do more shopping, right? So, according to the website, 60% of women carry a balance on their credit cards. In other words, people soon become so overextended that this thing is growing, they're using the plastic, they're adding to their bill, plus the credit card company, the bank, they're adding to the bill with their interest rates, which are ridiculous. But the bill is getting bigger, and soon people are overextended, and they're only able to make a minimum payment. And the sad fact is, they're caught in this vicious cycle. That's why the wise man said this. He said, the rich ruleth over the poor. Rich, they rule over the poor. Why? Because the borrower is now the servant to the lender. You just thought you made that salary for you. No, you made that salary for the credit card company. You just didn't realize it. Yeah, you're now the servant to the lender. The servant to the bottom line. Banks are getting filthy rich because they have successfully enticed people. They've had successfully enticed people to fall into the trap of spending money they don't have, to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't even like. Pretty good, isn't it? Sad, but it's true. Sad. Stay away from credit. Stay away from credit. Letter D, invest wisely. Now, every financial planner has some hot tips on where to invest your money to get the best returns. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We've all heard the stories. But there is none who can give better advice on where to put our money than the one who gives us all our wealth. God gives us the best advice. He gives the best advice because his advice never fails. His advice is always right on. It's always right on. And so there's one place where we can invest our money so that no matter what happens in the world events or in the nations of the world, the economies of the world, the money that we invest in this place never loses its value. Never loses its value. And we'll be able to enjoy the interest of it forever. You want to buy in? I won't mention any names. His initials are David Chua. He said, "Pastor, I want to share with you what I do." And so he was showing me what he does in his work and showing me the investment packages that he's offering. And to be honest with you, it sounded pretty good. I was about to get excited. And then he said, "Now you have to have $1 million to buy in." I said, "Let me talk to my wife." No. She's the one with the money. But we'd all be interested, wouldn't we? Sure, we'd all be interested in that. So let me show it to you. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." In other words, God's advice is the best place we can deposit our money is in God's bank. That's the best place you can put your riches. You want to make an investment that's going to last for all of eternity? Then put it in God's place. Put it in God's bank. And we deposit money into God's bank by giving to spread His work. And we invest in God's bank by even giving to help God's people. Did you know that? By giving to help God's people, we're investing in God's Word. Let me show you a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor," we talked about that already, "working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have plenty of money in the bank to be able to save for a rainy day and always be able to take care of his own needs." No, that's not what it says, even though that is the way most people live. God's advice is you work with your hands, you labor with your hands. Why? So that you can have to give to him that needeth. Just because God gives you a bonus that brings $1 million into your bank account does not mean that God wants you to live like a millionaire. Did you ever think about that? It may be God has given you more because He wants you to give more. He wants you to invest more. We give to His work. Give to, by the way, here's another one. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto" who? The Lord. He that giveth to the poor has pity on the poor, lendeth to the Lord, and to that which he hath given, he may kisseth it goodbye, for it is gone forever. No, that's not what it says. No, the Bible says that he, that is the Lord, is going to pay him again. You say, well, I gave something to help somebody out one time. I didn't get nothing back. Well, that may mean you haven't seen the end of the story yet. In fact, you may not even see the return on that investment till you get to heaven. But let me just remind you, God always pays his bills. And God will not be indebted to any man. And when we invest our money in God's work, God's promise is, you're not going to lose it. It's not a waste. You're not going to lose it. God's going to reward that. Invest wisely. Invest not in things that are temporal. Invest in things that are eternal. Let me give you another one. Letter E, very quickly. Trust God. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. We dealt with this last time, I believe it was. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What is that? That's the necessities of life. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is, first of all, make it your priority to know that you have been born again. And then once you know that you're born again, then make it your priority to seek his righteousness. In other words, to be like Christ. To be holy in the way you live. And if you will do that, then here's his promise. All these things, the necessities of life, are going to be added to you. God's provision is not dependent on earth's wealth. And heaven's economy is never bothered by earth's inflation. In other words, God will never say, I cannot provide for you today because inflation is just too high. Can't take care of you today. I'm sorry. Things are just too bad and I can't afford to keep you up in this economy. God never says that. There's another type of inflation I want us to notice, and I've got to hurry. I miss my clock. Remember at Tysing, we had that clock? I don't have a clock here. All I got is that bright light up there shining in my eye, and I miss my clock. So anyway, let me hurry here. The most dangerous inflation, number three. Two types of dangerous inflation we need to understand. Letter A, inflated religion. Governments can print money. And they can print money, 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 money. And the more they print, you know what happens to it? The less valuable it becomes. Right? Less valuable it becomes. Same thing can happen in religion. Did you know that? Same thing can happen in religion. We use certain terms around here. We talk about getting saved. We talk about being born again. We talk about faith. We talk about being a Christian. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We talk about being baptized. But you know, there's a lot of other people who have adopted those terms, and boy, this group uses them, and now this group uses them, and boy, it's just inflated. I mean, you're seeing those same terms being used here and here and here and here and here. And you know what the problem is? The problem is now those terms no longer have the value they used to have. They've been devalued because of the fact every place that uses the term has a different meaning. I remember back when a person said, I'm a fundamentalist. There were a lot of people who would stand up and they would say, well, I'm a fundamentalist. What does that mean? Well, back then it meant, I believe the Word of God. I stand for the Scriptures. I stand on the fundamentals of the faith. I'm a fundamentalist. Today, if you say I'm a fundamentalist, he's a terrorist. Right? Same term, isn't it? It's the same word, but now the meanings have been changed. And the problem comes when people begin using the same terms in a way that has no value, it has no real meaning. Inflated religion. That's a danger. because it creates so much confusion in the minds of people. There's another inflation, and that's the inflated people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul said, "Now some are puffed up." You know what he just said? He said, some are inflated. You ever blown a balloon? You puff up, and you know, and it inflates, right? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He said, there are some people like that. There are some people who are puffed up. There are some people who are inflated. What are they inflated with? Pride. They're inflated with pride. One commentator, I think, said it very well. He said, such people put a value on themselves which greatly exceeds their true value and their worth. In other words, they need to hear the admonition of the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He said, "For I say to every man that is among you," he's talking to all of us here, okay? This is for all of us. Here's what he said. He said that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we are to think soberly. What does that mean? It simply means we're to think properly. Instead of getting an inflated view of ourselves, we're to look at ourselves in the light of God's Word so that we can see ourselves as God sees us and we can see ourselves as we really are. Don't get inflated with yourself. It's a dangerous, deadly thing because of all the things in the world that God hates. And there's seven of them that are clearly listed. Number one on His list is pride. Pride. While the inflation of finances in our world is certainly troubling, there are some biblical steps that we can take to ease the difficulties. In the very same way, when it comes to spiritual inflation, the Word of God has the clear answer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is." Truth of the matter is, no matter how great people may appear to be, we'll never reach our full potential in this life. It's only when we see Christ and we're changed and we become like Him, then we'll know our full potential. And it will all be, not because of anything we've done, but it'll all be because of His amazing grace. Inflation. I hope these have helped you to see some things that'll be beneficial. Heavenly Father.